Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
Hey, what's going on, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, makers, artists, filmmakers, designers, and coders who are on a mission of bringing their ideas to life by creating new things and getting their work to work. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative life for some time, I hope you'll learn something new in this podcast, challenge your assumptions about what is possible, and chase big ideas so you can become who you were born to be. What could the future look like? This is one of the driving questions of Bend Design, an annual conference in Bend, Oregon that brings together a wide range of leaders and creatives to learn new ways to connect, collaborate, and impact the world with creativity. In today's interview episode of Getting Work to Work, I talk with Renee Mitchell and Martha Murray about all things Bend Design and how the conference has impacted their professional pursuits. We also dive into the importance of having multiple creative interests, how obsessions show up in their creative work, the importance of broadening your perspective, and wise insights into the balance of client work, pet projects, and life. Show notes and links to resources mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/296. You'll also find links to stream the show on the major podcast platforms and an opportunity to sign up for my email newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. Each week, I send out some thoughts on curiosity along with books, videos, podcasts, and other resources blowing my mind as well. Renee and Martha, welcome to Getting Work to Work. I'm really excited to talk with you both today. Why don't each of you share a little bit about who you are and the work you do?
Hi, this is Martha. I am by profession an interior designer. That's my day job. I work with people that are either building homes or remodeling homes or whatever and try to make their visions come to reality. And then my pet project is Scale House and Bend Design, and that keeps me busy the rest of the time. So that's kind of my life.
Awesome.
Hi, this is Renee. I've worked in branding for 25 years, mainly in advertising agencies, working with a lot of beverage brands, craft beer, kombucha, in the tourism industry, as well as some arts organizations. And about 3 years ago, I went over to what I call the dark side, being the client side. I've been at agencies for years. I never thought I'd go to the client side. I'm now director of brand at Hum Kombucha.
Wow.
And learning a lot about the business side of marketing, which is really interesting because all of my background has been on the creative side, branding, and storytelling and making really fun and innovative things happen.
Wow.
I also work on Scale House and Bend Design. And then probably my most important job is I'm the mother of two young girls who are 9 and 11.
Wow. You both have an incredible amount of work that you do. Wow. I like how you described it, Martha, as pet projects that keep you busy. That's just impressive. I guess how do you keep your wits about you?
It depends on the day, I guess. Today I'm not sure because it's been one of those kinds of days. I try really hard. I'm not successful at this, but I try really hard to compartmentalize. So I'll say, okay, I've really got to focus on my clients and my paid work and do that for whatever period of time. And then I can turn my focus to Scale House and Bend Design. And so the emails on that side really pile up and people get annoyed with me because I'm not responding right away. But I have learned that I really have to separate them. Otherwise, I get into trouble on both sides.
I bet. Do you have like set blocks of time where you're like, okay, from this period of time in a day, I'm going to work on this, and then the rest of the time it's going to be this, or is it just kind of as it flows?
Yeah, I do. I've really made it a priority that when I go to work every day that I have to you know, do everything that I need to do to move my clients' projects forward. And then, you know, towards the end of the day or in the evening is when I can turn my attention to Scale House and Bend Design, because I, you know, we do have to remember that we need to make a living in order to do these other things.
Yes.
And then there's also finding downtime, because if I don't have downtime, I'm worthless. I can't get anything done.
So I hear the shake of a dog in the background. Is that one way that you wind down?
Yes, that's Scout. That's one way that he keeps me outside and moving and entertained. So yes.
I'm entertained just hearing the shake. I don't know what kind of dog it is, but I'm smiling already.
Ben's a big dog town.
That's awesome. Well, Renee, I'm totally going to steal a question from your website, and it's to the both of you. What is your latest TV, book, or music obsession?
Oh, I have quite a few. Well, almost embarrassed to admit it, but I have recently watched Dead to Me on Netflix, mm-hmm. starring Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, it really was a binge. I think I watched it all in one day.
Oh, wow.
Like Martha, going back, I also need my downtime. And what my downtime is, diving into really good television and really good storytelling that completely removes me from what I deal and do on a daily basis. And oftentimes, the more violent, the better, which is crazy. But with Dead to Me, what I love about it, it's interesting because I lost my husband 8 years ago, tragically, but I like Dead to Me because it's so relatable and she's funny about death. And I can so relate to it. And she makes me feel better about myself when I've had those moments when you completely want to freak out on people or say the most inappropriate things to people who say, I just can't imagine what you went through. Well, let me tell you, it would be like this. So diving into just absurd or violent or out of the ordinary television is truly my escape and obsession.
Nice. Mm-hmm. How about you, Martha?
I also am a bit of a television watcher. It helps me turn my brain off at the end of the day. And I just, what did I finish watching recently? The Americans. It's such a good show, and it's really well written and well produced. And being a visual person, I can get really into like period dramas and that sort of thing because the sets and the costumes are amazing. I'm about to go into Deadwood again because the first time around, I loved it, and the writing is phenomenal. And I'm going to relive Deadwood.
Nice.
Before the movie comes out.
So how do these obsessions with shows and sometimes with absurd violence impact or show up in your creative process?
You know, being in Bend has many wonderful traits and values, but I also feel sometimes really isolated and don't have a lot of exposure to creative things. So having an obsession over a TV show where it takes place in Los Angeles and it's in this really beautiful home and they're talking about art not only provides that escape, but it also inspires me and it always triggers a new idea that then I see play out in a conversation with Martha or, hey, I learned about this artist on a television show and we may, you know, look him or her up. So even though it's a time for me to escape and turn off my brain, it also always produces some inspiring thought and also makes me feel, you know, I can do this. I can do this.
That's awesome.
I got this.
I imagine that it is challenging living in a small town when you are chasing big ideas and wanting exposure with things that might not be readily available in a small town.
Yes,
it can be, you know, as beautiful as it is here and as quickly as we are growing and as many people that are moving here from urban areas, it still is a small town.
Yeah.
And it can feel a little claustrophobic at times. So I think that's, you know, another reason that we probably chase a little bit of escapism and try to bring the greater world here.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring the greater world to us.
It's almost going to be, I think, sometimes a selfish act for both Martha and I, because we want these outlets. So if we can't go and do it, how can we bring it here?
Right.
Yeah. What a powerful sentiment, though, to realize that you can actually bring people here. I mean, when did you first realize that you could do that?
It's been remarkably easy, actually. I mean, we've hit some obstacles, but even the first year, we just sort of started calling people, and they amazingly said yes to us. And I think it helps that Bend is a place people want to come.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think is appealing to people, especially as we have grown and the names we attract are bigger and bigger, is that they like the intimacy of Bend Design. You know, it's really only 470 people, and normally they're at conferences of 2,000, 5,000, and the opportunity to do something on a much smaller scale is interesting to them, I think. Would you agree with that, Renee?
Absolutely. They can interact with other speakers as well as the attendees, and they also learn and gain new experiences and new relationships from the conference. It's not just they go up and speak behind a podium, and then they're ushered off on a plane to their next event.
Right.
As Martha was saying, Bend is so well known and it presents this beautiful backdrop. And then looking at how Bend has grown, so many people are moving here, starting businesses here. So the inception of Bend Design just really started at the perfect time when entrepreneurs were moving to town. Mm-hmm. There was this awareness of our creative class and really how to elevate it. And I think at the time we were written up in Entrepreneur Magazine as the best city to move to.
Oh, wow.
So it just was it was just perfect timing, not only for the community, but the awareness of our city.
Well, and apart from the city, I mean, you both have a charismatic sense about you, so that if you called someone up, how would you not want to say no to your personalities?
Oh, you're too kind.
That's very sweet of you, Chris.
Very sweet.
We do usually start with an email, but hey.
Yeah. Well, I'm serious, though, because as we're talking, it's just like we just pick up the phone and call someone. It's just like that right there is something special that not a lot of people really, I think, connect with sometimes.
This is funny. The first year, we both would be so timid. Renee calling from Bend, Oregon. Where? Who?
Yeah.
And then now our fifth year, we're receiving the phone calls.
Yeah.
And nice. Some of our speakers, even in the last week, are sharing on their social media channels how honored and excited they are to come. And that I think it blows both of us away.
Yeah.
In a way.
It does. It does.
Yeah. That's really cool. One of the things that I'm curious about is Scale House. So it's a member-supported nonprofits art organization. And I'm just curious, what is that about? Is it just the two of you, or is there more? Just fill me in.
Sure. So Scale House is the umbrella organization, if you will, that produces Bend Design. Mm-hmm. And it was started in 2013 as a nonprofit organization with big, big vision to open a contemporary creative art center.
Cool.
So an actual center where people would come with traveling exhibitions, a place to take workshops, a black box theater, a cafe, a museum type store.
Cool. And
quite honestly, I think our vision was a little bit bigger than our checkbooks or hours in the day. So, but we believed in it so much that we decided we don't need a bricks and mortar home. We can still produce programming that supports our vision. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky to live in a community where there are a lot of arts organizations. Mm-hmm. At the time, no one was really focusing on contemporary art or how creative thinking or how design or innovative thinking can really be used to look at the world through a new lens or solve some of our most pressing issues. It was really more around discipline of painting class or photography class. And we started it with the goal of breaking down silos in our community and bringing people together in the business sector, the public sector, and also education, creative sector, to be a part of discussions, talks, and it's been pretty successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also why Martha and I wanted to be involved with this is, I know for myself, I was always told I wasn't an artist, but when I'm around creative people, I feel the most alive.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to bring the community together and break down that myth that you're not an artist, you're not creative. Mm-hmm. It's one of my biggest pet peeves when people say, oh, I'm not an artist.
Yeah.
Well, no, you are in a certain way. And
everybody has a creative streak somewhere. It's just finding it and how do they apply it?
Exactly.
I mean, accountants are creative in their own way.
Right.
Hopefully not in the wrong way.
Yeah.
True.
So we've got our programming that we really have been able to bring people together in unexpected ways. And we've heard that they're really appreciative about the opportunities of coming together.
Yeah. One of the statements that I love on the website is that you say Scale House is for anyone who feels a responsibility to help shape the future through creativity. There's just something there that's just like, yes, that future focused look. And so what does the shape of the future you want to create look like? Is it the art center that you mentioned, or is it something bigger than that?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a big question.
It is. Well, we would definitely like to have a creative center someday.
Yes.
And a place for people to come together. But again, it's a goal, but that does not lead our work every single day.
Mm-hmm.
For me, shaping the future is really through creativity, is looking at how can we apply creative solutions to what's happening in our world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And also, how can it bring people together?
Yeah.
I believe that people think, oh, I'm in this profession, so I'm going to solve it this way. Or I'm in this profession, I'm going to solve it this way. Well, what if we just took down those walls and all came together and looked at, hey, here's a whole new way to look at this issue.
Mm.
I would agree with that. I think our current circumstances just require a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
And so bringing together people that wouldn't normally come together and looking at things from a different perspective is going to produce a better outcome.
There's a phrase that I've been hearing a lot lately, and I'm just going to say this phrase, and it's the phrase, stay in your lane. Mm. And what I appreciate about what you're describing is it's like there's some boundaries, yes, because you know we need to make sure that we're not, you know, in chaos. But, you know, there's freedom in moving within the lanes.
There's freedom within moving through the lanes, and there's also freedom in getting outside the lanes and,
yeah. You
know, going and seeing what somebody else is doing. And I'm not suggesting that we do that in a disrespectful manner, but I mm-hmm. think opening up your perspective can only help.
Yeah. Ooh, yes, yes. What are some of the challenges that you face in building this community-based collaborative effort?
Money.
Mm-hmm.
Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the other thing that really needs to happen, and we are doing it, but it's just building the constituency that will support it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, and that also, you know, factors into the time and the money
mm-hmm.
piece of this.
And I think given both our day jobs and other commitments and that this is a pet and passion project,
mm-hmm.
it's our goal to get the work done and to deliver quality and really different programming. But there's not always the time or the opportunities, I think, to be as collaborative or embrace anyone and everyone that mm-hmm. we're expected to embrace. Mm. So we have a great volunteer base and we invite people to join, but we don't know everyone in Bend, Oregon.
No,
we don't know what everyone's skill set is. And as the community grows, there are more opportunities and there are more people. And part of building that constituency base is trying to provide opportunities where people really know who we are and what we do, and we invite them to join us. And that is a goal of ours, yet this is not our full-time everyday job.
Exactly. So
if we had time to, you know, sit down and convene all day, we both love it and enjoy it. It's just, it's not a reality right now. So by building that base and hopefully having more funding, will open up time to do that.
Right.
Do you think in the future that this would be possible, that it could be full-time, or is it going to always be like that pet project?
We'd certainly like it to be full-time, at least for one of us, and with some support staff, but chasing money is also a very time consuming, whether it's writing grants or meeting with people that might want to support you. It's just, that is also very time consuming. And so given that we are an entirely volunteer organization and Bend Design is produced entirely by volunteers, it doesn't leave a lot of that for us to really pursue the bigger goals that we have. And that's unfortunate, but it's the reality, at least right now.
Yeah. It really comes back to a word that you said earlier, is just expectations. And it sounds like there's multiple expectations, not only your individual expectations of what you want out of this, but also the expectations that the community might have, and then that, you know, the greater community might have as well. And that's a lot of expectation management.
It really is. When you're producing a 4-day event and you're charging money for it, you know, the person buying, they don't care that we're all volunteers, right? So we're almost in this conundrum of, okay, yes, we are volunteers and this is our passion project, but we're also, luckily, fortunately, because the people who come are producing a high quality event, and we have to deliver that level of customer service and get back to people in a timely manner.
Absolutely.
And have the website make sense. You know, we can't respond to people, "Well, sorry, that didn't work. I'm a volunteer."
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Wow. That can really add some struggle too.
Yeah. So we're, you know, trying to deliver polished and professional programs is our goal. Yeah. And hopefully we're doing that, hiding the fact that we're all volunteers.
Yeah. Well, you kind of outed it right now. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I just Martha and I both also have high expectations.
We have high standards.
Yeah, high standards of the event and how it's presented. So we probably put more pressure on ourselves than anyone else does.
That does speak to the caliber, though, of the people that you attract and that come to the event, which is great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're excited. I'm not going to say it's better every year. It's different every year. But the people we're attracting year after year, and you look at the roster of speakers over the past 5 years, is a pretty impressive group of individuals.
It is. And we kind of look at it and go, "Wow, did we do that?"
How has, you know, going through this experience over the last 5 years, how has it not only impacted your own businesses, but maybe increased your confidence? Because like you said, you were a little timid at first. Did you experience a growth in confidence, not only with the conference, but in your business?
I think with the conference, definitely, because now we have a track record. So we have something that people can look at and go, "Oh, okay, we get it. We see what you're doing. And yes, we'd like to be part of it." Or yes, we'd like to attend. In terms of my personal business, I'm not sure that it's had a big impact, honestly. I don't necessarily bring it into, you know, I don't necessarily bring Bend Design into my other profession. You know, a lot of my clients don't know that I do this. If it comes up, great, but it's not something, you know, I don't promote myself as the producer of Bend Design.
For me, I think both my career, day job, and Bend Design Scalehouse work benefit from the other.
How so?
So there are skills that I've learned being in marketing. There are people I meet who are creative individuals and innovators who we've tapped into for speakers or for producing videos or working on creative assets, website. And so that really helps Spend Design and Scale House, and also just some administrative work.
Oh, sure. You know,
building a really snappy budget. and then I would say Spend Design and Scale House helps just because it's fueling my creative sense of self and makes me stronger at my day job. I'm a Gemini, so there's two parts of me. So I don't just work in one area. It's a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. I believe being exposed to multiple things makes me better at all my jobs at the end of the day. And I'm sure there are days it makes me a lot worse at all my jobs too.
But then life wouldn't be as exciting if you didn't have the multiple paths through your career, I imagine, for you.
You know, there are some people really happy doing one thing 8 hours a day.
I'm not.
And I'm not either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not either.
I need variety, flexibility, and exposure to new people and ideas. That just feeds me and who I am.
Yeah.
Which, you know, impacts who we are in our regular professions, whether or not you can see a direct connection. It impacts who we are and how we operate in the world.
So good. So good. So tell me a little bit about the conference this year. When is it? And what can people expect to learn and experience?
Oh, goodness. Well, it's our fifth year. Starts on October 23rd through the 26th. We're excited because we are adding not a full day, but we are starting a day earlier. We're opening on Wednesday evening with a free community screening of the film Obey Giant on Shepherd Fairey's career and life.
That's awesome. A fantastic film.
Yeah, it is. Okay. It is. And we're excited that we're not charging. Mm-hmm. So not only will it provide an opportunity for Bend Design pass holders to attend, but also people in the community who might not be able to come for the full event.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So that's opening day.
That's opening day. We have a stellar lineup of speakers for Thursday, beginning with Debbie Millman, going through to all sorts of, you know, Peter Burr and Joel Pilger's coming back, Trey Seals, who's a font designer.
Oh, cool.
Deanna Van Buren, who is an architect who is envisioning a world without prisons.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
And then our Friday workshops are kind of across the board. Some are real creative. Some fall a little bit more into what I would call either creative development or professional development, either individually or as a group. And some are just going to be fun. And then we, for those of us that are introverts, we always have some films running if we have to just go and sit in the dark for a while because we're all
Do you mark those on the map so that, you know, the introverts will know?
Yeah, we should have
introvert friendly space
for those of you that need
right. And then Saturday is our last day, and we also had Saturday last year, but we call it our Design for Good Day. And
cool.
We partnered with an organization out of Portland called Visible.
Yeah.
And they started after Trump was elected by bringing creatives together to volunteer their time to develop creative materials, specifically logos for nonprofit organizations who work with marginalized communities. They were concerned that these communities and nonprofits would be impacted by some of the decisions being made in the White House. So really wanted to rally the creative community together.
Yeah.
And we had a design equity tournament last year working with the Latino Community Association, and we developed a new logo for them. And then we're about ready to accept applications for the nonprofit we're going to work with this year. So that was really a favorite last year. We're excited to do it again this year, as well as some community workshops using design charrette exercises, looking at how we can improve possibly infrastructure in our community, maybe our trail system. Hmm. We are still exploring what the those workshops will entail.
Yeah, how awesome. It really paints a big picture of what creativity is, and that it's everything from logos to trails and all of the things in between. That's awesome.
Right. Yes.
And then, of course, there are parties, because what's an event without parties? There's lots of those as well.
How many parties would you say that there are?
Oh, I'd say there's one every night.
Nice.
And then even Thursday night, there's multiple parties.
Right.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a progressive street party sort of situation. So
Hopefully it's not like going to be like the movie At World's End, where, you know, you're trying to do the beer crawl and then you end up revealing that the world has been taken over by robots.
Yeah, hopefully not.
We start to feel like robots then.
That's awesome. So where can people learn more about Bend Design? When should they sign up? What should they be aware of now? You know, what is it? 3 months out? 4 months out?
We should have one of those clock tickers.
Countdown.
Yes. No, that would stress me out too much. So tickets are on sale now. You can learn about the event, about our speakers, and also purchase your pass at bendesign.org. Mm-hmm. And right now there's an early bird price until August 1st.
Nice.
So now is the time.
Right.
And we cross our fingers. We've sold out the last 2 years about a week to 2 weeks prior. So we recommend that people, if they want to come, get their pass now.
That's right. And we do, the Thursday speakers are all up on the website. We haven't published the workshop schedule yet, but we will probably in a week or two. So even if you go buy your pass now, we'll send you an email saying, okay, it's time to register for your workshops. And so.
And then if someone wanted to come, but they weren't able to, but they wanted to volunteer, is that an option? Because sometimes students might want to volunteer if they can get down there, or people that might want to be a part of it in a way of giving back as well. Is that possible?
That's an excellent question, Chris. And the answer is yes. People can volunteer in exchange for a pass. We ask that they work two shifts, which is 6 to 8 hours, depending on what they're doing and where they are. Mm-hmm. And then they can participate in the rest of what's going on, all the events. So that's a way for, we do get a lot of students who like to volunteer. Mm-hmm. We also get some people that just, you know, can't afford the ticket price for whatever reason. And they, and then we also get people that just like to volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also have a student price. So we saw last year an increase in students from PNCA, College of Art in Portland, University of Oregon, Oregon State University, University of Idaho. And design students at the schools have reached out asking how they can get involved and be ambassadors at their own schools.
So, oh, that's cool.
You know, it is. It really is to see that they see the value in this small conference, traveling here, and just the whole experience it provides.
Yeah, the Idaho contingent has come every year from the first year. I don't even know how they found it for the year, but they've been coming every year, which is great.
That's awesome. I love that last year that the team up at Civilization in Seattle did like what a bus tour down there. Yeah. And then I thought that was pretty awesome.
We're actually partnering with Civilization. We don't have all the details out yet, but hoping to have a party and an event this summer featuring one of our speakers, just to encourage people from Seattle to come to Bend Design.
Very cool. Yeah, I had the chance to talk to Michael at Civilization, and what a neat guy.
He really is.
They both are. I mean, they're such great guys and a lot of fun, and they're doing some great things up there too.
They really are. They've been such good friends of ours. They've introduced us to interesting speakers and really good partners.
Well, Renee, Martha, this has been a fun conversation. I just have one last question for you. What was the last book or podcast that just blew your mind?
Oh, God. I read a lot and I listen to a lot of podcasts. So what blows my mind? I think it depends on my mood. Mm-hmm. The last book I read that I thought was really fantastic, Renee, you suggested to me something marriage. What was it called?
An American Marriage.
An American Marriage. Mm-hmm. That was really excellent.
Amazing?
It's really excellent. And because of what's going on a lot in the world, I tend to be a little hooked on the podcast Pod Save America. With the guys from Media, they were all part of the Obama White House, yeah. And they talk about and analyze what's going on. So I probably spent a little too much time listening to them.
They had a good 4-part series on HBO during the last election series. It was interesting.
Oh, did they? I also listened to a lot to Chris Doe's The Future podcast.
Yeah.
He came to Bend Design last year, and he's an amazing person, and I think what he's doing with the future and all of his work there is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
For me, I've been recently pretty obsessed with Hamilton. So
I took
my daughters to see it in San Francisco over spring break.
Oh, cool.
And since then, the three of us have not stopped listening to the soundtrack and honestly know every single song, every word.
That's awesome.
It was just great from a historical point of view, obviously. My daughter just studied the American Revolution, so she really understood it. But then just from the creativity in how Lin-Manuel wrote those songs. So I'm loving her Super Soul Sunday podcast.
Oh.
Now I got tuned into it because I had to get my eyes and ears on everything related to Hamilton, and she interviewed Lin-Manuel Miranda, and he was outstanding. Really because of how he talks about creativity and his creative process. And writing those lyrics, and he would, you know, work on one line for months that he would not finish until he got it right.
Wow.
So I'm all about Hamilton right now.
That's awesome. Well, Renee, Martha, and Scout, it's been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for being on Getting Work to Work. I can't wait to meet you in person in October. I think Bend Design is going to be an amazing time. So I hope all the listeners will come down as well. So thank you so much for your time today.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
You have a great day.
Be sure to check out benddesign.org to learn more about the conference, the speakers and workshops, and the plentiful opportunities to connect with a wide range of creative people. I'll even be down there doing a special live version of Getting Work to Work, interviewing two amazing creative professionals and sharing a little behind-the-scenes insight into how I produce the show. I hope that I'll see you there. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.